This is After the Credits, the home of correct movie opinions since 2007.
Yeah.
Welcome to episode 340 of After the Credits. I am one of your co-hosts, Marina Antunes, joined today by fellow co-hosts.
Steve Stebbing.
Bill Harris.
And no Melissa. It always feels like when you say it, Bill, it almost feels like there's something that's coming after. So I always feel like I need to clarify it, but I really don't.
But that's why I said and Bill Harris.
I know.
Oh, but it's the intonation.
Yeah. It's my own fault. Listen, I've gotten up two early mornings on the weekend, which should be against the law. I sat through 10 hours of dance today.
Wow.
And I'm not even a dance mom. I'm a dance aunt, apparently.
That's trooper, though.
And some of it is not great, let me tell you. Most of it was pretty good, but
was it interpretive?
No. They have like a bunch of different categories, but it is competitive, so it's not like you get a lot of bad stuff, but the little kids can be really, really cute, but also really annoying when they don't know what they're doing. Yeah. But then you look at them and they're so adorable and they're little tutus and
you're like, get it together, get tempo. What the fuck is this?
Yeah, pretty much.
Hey, snap out of it.
Yeah, pretty much. But it was overall, it was pretty good, but it was two very early mornings and I'm exhausted.
Nice. It's going to be a great podcast.
Yeah, it's totally going to be a great podcast.
Let's lull you to sleep with the dulcet tones.
Oh, please.
I'll talk about that's inside the yellow cocoon shell for an hour.
We can just talk Coachella replays for an hour. It's fine.
Apparently the Green Day set's really good.
Green Day was really good.
There's a couple of really great sets.
I still think Charlie was the best.
Because she slays all the time.
She looks incredible.
Weezer was really good.
That's so fucking weird.
The Metallica cover was pretty awesome. I sent it to Bill. I'm like,
the timing of weird news stories and Weezer playing it cannot be ignored. The fact that his wife was shot by the cops.
Yes.
I'm sorry. What?
You don't know this story. Oh, no. My God. Yeah.
What the hell?
The bass player's wife was shot in a police shootout like earlier this week.
And then the next day he wrote on Twitter, "See you at Coachella."
I'm not going to address nothing. See you there.
That's so weird.
We're playing. I'm going to play Beverly Hills for you all.
Yeah, we're covering Enter Sandman.
So my sister and I went to see Weezer and Panic at the Disco at Deer Lake. I don't think we took Chloe. I don't remember if she went to that show, but Panic at the Disco opened, and literally after they left, half of the people left. Wow. So Weezer played to a half empty stadium, essentially. And they're like, "Hello to all the old people that still remember us." And we're like, "Yeah, that's us. The old people, they're still here." It was pretty funny.
So before we start, I have two things. You guys ready?
Yes.
You guys ready?
Okay.
First thing, happy early Canada Film Day from the King of Canadian Film.
Yes.
April 16th. My local cinema is playing Red Rooms.
Oh,
shit.
Yes.
Oh, you're going to go represent, right?
Fuck yes, I am.
Yes.
Nice. Yes. Very nice. Very nice.
Yeah. So everybody get out and see Canadian Film. I think Van City is doing some stuff in Vancouver.
Yeah.
I don't know about Cinematheque, but I'm sure they are.
Yes, they do.
So yeah, support local Canadian film. There's some good stuff.
In honor of Canadian Film Day, I might have to watch Red Room.
Nice.
Because why not?
Is this your early try to get that as your number one film of this year too?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Well, it's screening, so yeah. It's screened in theaters in the year 2025. So
damn right.
I will say full props because it's at the Vic, right?
No, it's at CineCentre.
Full props to CineCentre for bringing like one of the greatest Canadian movies from the last couple of years.
Yeah,
theaters. That's amazing. That's I love it. Yeah.
They're also playing the day before. They're playing Hardcore Logo.
Oh shit!
Yeah,
the programmer there is clearly on fire.
Yeah.
Oh,
this person gets super props from us.
So, yeah.
They're getting a link.
if you guys haven't seen Hardcore Logo, that's a treat.
That is a treat.
I want someone to play. I want some theater to play Pontypool.
Yeah. Oh, that would be actually a really great double.
I love Pontypool.
I such love a good movie. Steve McHattie in that movie is so is just killer. Fucking amazing.
That concept is so good too. I don't think anybody has been able to do it better.
It so subverts expectations.
Yeah, it like, really does.
Consistently. I think it's probably one of Bruce McDonald's best films he's ever done.
Mm-hmm. I have a weird Pontypool story. Not that I've already derailed this shit.
Is that a VIFF screening for you guys? You guys saw Pontypool at VIFF, maybe?
No.
Yes, I did.
I didn't.
You did? Okay.
Yeah. At the Cinematheque.
Oh,
and then
nice.
I accosted Bruce McDonald in the little greenery area outside the theater because nice. It was great and he was out there smoking away and we had a conversation and he's lovely. I think I got him to record an intro to the podcast.
That's really cool.
That's awesome. I do remember that actually.
Yeah, we should get something like somewhere. That this year.
Doesn't he say like best seats in the house or something like that?
Something like that.
I totally remember it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was at Fantastic Fest, and the Alamo Drafthouse South Lamar has a Blu-ray vending machine. Ever seen this? It's a vending machine like you would buy a Coke out of, but it disperses Blu-rays. And they had lines of like three across and like six down of all these Blu-rays, and one of them was like mystery Blu-ray. It was wrapped in a paper bag. I'm just like, what the fuck? I need that shit. I don't know what this is going to be, but $10, whatever, I'll buy it. Opened it up. It was a UK Pontypool Blu-ray, and I didn't have it. It was not available in Blu-ray in Canada at the time, and I was the happiest person in Texas. Like, I was like, this is the coolest film ever, and I finally got a Blu-ray of it. And then a buddy of mine got one, and he got some shit horror film from the 70s, and he was so angry.
since we're already derailed, I will bring this up again when it's closer to, but I found out earlier this week that Netflix is doing a preview screening of Love, Death, and Robots. They're showing a chunk of the new season, I guess season four or five. I don't know.
It's season four. Season four.
Yeah, on May the 7th at Silver City Riverport, tickets crazy. That are going to be available shortly. And so during this conversation, I'm like, they're telling me that Tim is coming up. Tim Lee, no, Tim, what's his last name? I've forgotten his name. But Tim is coming up from Blur Studios. Tim Miller to do a Q&A. And I'm like, hey, do you guys have a moderator for that panel yet? She's like, no. I'm like, if you need a moderator, I'll do it. And she's like, really? I'm like, yeah, of course.
Nice.
We
go back, man. We have history. We did a fireside chat. I said to Dan, I have a feeling he's going to look at me and run the other way.
Nice.
It's the last time you got a dent.
Wow.
Awesome.
I did put him on the spot, but it's going to be really fun. So
that's
stay
killer.
Tuned for that. It's going to be awesome.
And okay, go ahead, Steve.
I just want to derail for another second because Marina brought up the Cinematheque. And the Cinematheque is a venue that I don't think is not used for VIFF anymore, which is sad.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Very sad. Because my first experience at the Cinematheque was in my first year at VIFF, and it was the Steve Yvette's movie, Ah.
Oh, so fun.
And so it's funny. It makes me laugh that you saw Pontypool there for VIFF, like just like a weird movie and stuff. And I'm like, it's such a good venue for weird movies because Ah is fucking weird. And the only noble actor in it is like Noel Fielding, I think.
I went to the midnight screening at the Rio of that. And Curtis intros it. He's just like, this movie is weird. And I'm just like, yeah. And then I'm like, oh shit, this movie is really fucking weird. I had no idea what that movie was, and it was
they super like
weird, but it's so good.
Beat the shit out of Noel Fielding and castrate him.
Yeah.
It's like, what the fuck is going on?
I think the coolest screening I've seen at the Cinematheque was was it a tour called Lights in the Sky when Nine Inch Nails played in Victoria?
Yeah. Yeah.
So they had really dumped like terabytes of video data on their Discord or bulletin board, and somebody actually cobbled together like a 5.1 surround 4K video of the show that I went to see. It was like you bought the tickets on like a Nine Inch Nails fan forum. It was the strangest thing.
So speaking of that, I was gonna bring this up just because I want to know what Marina thinks. You guys seen the Tron Ares trailer?
Yes.
What do you think of the 10 or so seconds of that Nine Inch Nails score?
It's
hot damn.
Fucking kills.
Yeah.
It slaps so hard. That trailer, I've seen it twice now, and I'm not sure I'm digging this take on Tron, to be honest. It's
I was
weird.
Super into it until I saw Jared Leto, and I'm just like, what?
Yeah. I mean, that opening scene, though, like, we don't often talk trailers, but that opening scene with the light bike, and it comes crashing through, and then the car splits in half, and I was like, the fuck? Wait, they're in the real world? What is happening? Mind blown. But I don't know. Like, I'm curious. Well, you know, I'm going to see it. Don't get me wrong. I'm not sure. The whole concept just, I don't know. I'm concerned. I have concerns.
There can be reasonable concern because it's Joachim Ronning is the filmmaker behind it. So we don't have a Kaczynski on it. We don't. Because I mean, this is why I have such an interest in F1, because it's a Kaczynski film. So I feel
it's
like
gonna it's going to be.
Yeah, there's going to be super fucking immersive. So I'm all about that. But like, I mean, like, this was the same guy that Disney injected into the Pirates of the Caribbean franchise to like. I still think it's a fun film, but it's just on Stranger Tides is nowhere near any of the other films.
No, I fully agree. I mean, I have high hopes.
Yeah.
It certainly looks really great, and they have an amazing cast. And of course, a banger soundtrack.
Yeah, that's the only thing that I'm going with right now at this point, is that the soundtrack is going to just fucking throb.
Hopefully it's going to be so good. Hopefully the score is on like 180 gram double vinyl.
I picked up Challengers of all places, Sunrise Records, and it's so nice, and it came with trading cards. It's the weirdest thing, but it sounds so great.
Can I be like, because we're talking, you brought vinyls for a second, Record Store Day was yesterday.
I fucking missed it.
So I had to go there for opening for my wife to get the Taylor Swift Fortnite 7-inch.
Yeah.
Which I got on a pre-order because it hadn't arrived yet. And then I was also supposed to get the Post Malone Nirvana cover album. But they only brought 3 in. Did you get it?
I got it.
You fucking got it. Oh, well done, Bill.
Here's the thing. I actually didn't get it. A buddy of mine got it for me.
Oh.
Yeah, because I was working. Yeah,
beautiful. But I didn't realize it until Jeremy Baker posted it. Serial Joe's Face Down, first ever pressing, came out on Record Store Day.
Wow!
And if you're a Canadian music fan, or much music watcher, or that was hopelessly like addicted to it in the 90s, you know who the fuck Serial Joe is. And that's a banger of an album.
It is.
I think it's their only record. I'm pretty sure.
Might be.
Well, maybe I'll steal my buddy's copy of the Post Nirvana and float it to you at VIF or something. Because he won't miss it at all, will he?
No, right?
I want to see this fight. This is going to break out into a fight.
Yeah,
that would be a bad
okay,
one.
Now we've talked about everything else.
Everything.
We're 20 minutes in.
But Marina, I have to ask, was there, like, even through, because, I mean, pull the curtain, our group chat, we're like trying to figure out what the number one movie is. And at last that I checked, I thought if we were settling on a movie, it would have been Drop.
And that was the movie that I went to see. So
okay.
That was the consensus from you two. And I was like, okay, that's the movie we're going to go see. I have time for one movie.
Yeah, I saw it. I saw it on Thursday. I'm glad that I waited for more shows to be updated. So I didn't go see The Amateur. I still haven't seen it. I'm going to see it, but
more on that later.
Yeah, I bet. who even directed The Amateur?
James Hines.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know the scene where he's like he's got the clicker and he's like, the pool floor is about to break or something, and the guy's like, what do you mean? And then he presses a button and the thing, I'm like, that's kind of anticlimactic. I don't know.
I heard it's very, do you want to play a game? That's what I've heard about it. But yeah, if we're talking Drop,
let's talk Drop. Let's get into the movies and talk about Christopher Landon's new movie, which should, by all intents and purposes, be kind of a write-off. Like, the premise is so stupid.
It is pretty stupid. I really wish Christopher Landon would have wrote this movie.
Yeah, it would have been better.
Probably.
The every beat to get you to the actual, like, when shit starts to happen is so fucking cringe.
A lot of this movie is cringe.
And then it also reverts back to it for the final 5 minutes to be
cringe. Well, I think that the last 50 minutes are pretty terrible. Like, as soon as, okay, so we're going to go full spoilers because there's not a whole lot to talk about here.
Let's get real.
The final, I guess it's 10 or 15 minutes after he gets shot. Right. And then he saves her. I actually legitimately turned to Dan and I'm like, did he get shot? How does he have the strength to pull her up?
Yeah.
I don't understand. After that, it's like a total joke. I'm like, I was with you until that moment.
No, I could let everything else go.
That moment was the moment that I was out.
The reveal of the person doing it. Oh, it's like the biggest letdown in a film I've had in a very long time. I thought they were going to do something a little bit better than that. It's just like,
I wasn't that invested.
Yeah, like this is
I wasn't invested enough to be disappointed. I was kind of like, oh, okay, well, that happened.
Mm-hmm. Which sucks because Megan Faye is really good.
She is really good. I mean, and that's, I think for me, the reason the movie is enjoyable at all is because, one, it doesn't take itself too seriously. Like, it knows it's silly and it plays into the silliness and never lets itself get too serious. And she and Brandon Skeller have really good chemistry and they're kind of fun together.
I like him a lot, actually.
Full disclosure, I know him from one thing and it's 1923. And I've since seen him, not in a movie or anything, but I've seen him without the facial hair and I'm like, keep the facial hair at all costs. Once that hair is gone, it's like, I don't know what you got going for you, buddy.
He's got Glenn Powell potential though. But he does.
They've called him the Walmart Glenn Powell, which I think is hilarious.
I think he's like a mix of Glenn Powell and I just fucking lost it. I had it. Oh, get back to me on that.
But he does have that sort of like all American, sort of like cowboy, but like, you know, from the city. Like he embodies, he's very easy to like.
Oh, I got it. He's the Glenn Powell and Chris Evans mashup.
Yes,
he is the middle line between both of them.
Yeah. And it works for you, like, work it. I have no issues with that. He's very likable. He's very easy to look at. They have great chemistry together. And really, like, that banter back and forth between the two of them is the only thing that really rescues this movie because a lot of it is so silly. Like, so silly.
A lot of it's hilarious.
Oh, like, yeah, for sure.
Like, when she goes up to borrow that girl's eyeliner and stuff, like, that scene is so, like, unintentionally hilarious. I just felt like it lacked Christopher Landon's, I don't know, originality.
The only thing I've seen of his is Freaky, which I really liked, and I've been meaning to watch Happy Death Day because the trailers just look hilarious.
To You, I like a lot more than I like the first one. I honestly don't like the first film.
Okay.
But the second film I really, really like. And he has an ability to either, I don't know, he matches up with leading ladies really fucking well. like really well, because even though I didn't like the first film of Happy Death Day, I could tell you that I like Jessica Roth a lot. I think she is so fucking strong in that film. And then in the second film, she's just great because she's just taking the same shit she was doing the first film and just fucking running with it in a whole new like comedic fashion. And I think that's why that second movie is better, because it's just, it can go as absurd as it wants because it doesn't really matter. And then Catherine Newton in Freaky is just, she's so, good. So much fun.
Yes.
Like she is, it's like a star maker. Like
it totally is.
Of course, it came out during COVID, so not enough people saw it at the time, but it got enough, I know, cult oomph to, because Catherine Newton still, I think she's still killing it. Even if Lisa Frankenstein wasn't a great movie, she's so much fun at all times. Yeah. I really, really dig her. And Christopher Landon is kind of like the launching point. So I kind of expect, if anything comes out of Drop, it'll be a both lead actors in this film. We'll get a little bit of a spike. Yeah, it's just, I just wish it was a better film.
Yeah, I've been in a bit of a pissy mood watching movies lately. I just watched a lot of really bad movies lately, and I watched this movie and I was just so furious after.
It was the one that it was the movie that broke Bill. Like I've seen so much shit. This is the shittiest.
But the funny thing is that I saw movies three nights in a row this week. And the first night Thursday I saw Drop and it was terrible. And then the movies I saw on Friday were really good. And the movie I saw on Saturday was really good. So it kind of got better, but I'm so like Minecraft made like $150 million and everything else made no money at all. You want to know why? Because they suck.
Okay, but did you see Minecraft? Any of you guys seen?
No, Steve saw it.
I did.
Oh man, I'm struggling. I'm really struggling to understand what the appeal of this movie is. And then
more
I saw
Steve's thoughts later.
I saw the TikTok trends, and I'm like, okay, so
that
I am definitely
not the demographic. Did not happen in my theater, but there were a lot of people excited about yelling catchphrases.
Listen, the amount of kids, teenagers, like full on, like 16, 17, 18 year olds at McDonald's buying those bloody adult Minecraft things is mind boggling to me. Like, I just do not understand this fandom. I'm apparently an old bat.
Yeah, I don't get it either.
It's just crazy.
Bats a drop. I think my main problem with that film is that give us three like 10 minutes and we could have wrote a better script than that.
Yeah.
The idea is decent enough that they should have been able to figure something out that was coherent and watchable and exciting. And there is none of that. And I find that really frustrating.
And why did the sibling rivalry shit have to go as far as like, hey, you know, I got shot too. You could bring me breakfast and a coffee or something, but like, fuck you. And then
I actually like that gag I kind of like the gag where she texts her and she's like, too soon. I actually thought that was pretty funny. And there's like little tidbits like that that I really like. Like the fact that the son drives his RC truck with the gun is so stupid. Yeah, and I was like, God. But also kind of genius. I kind of love it, even though it's really stupid.
Speaking of kid actors, that kid actor was fucking terrible. I don't even care. He's never going to hear this.
Come
podcast.
On. Even the bad guy is fucking terrible.
Like, Reed Diamond.
Oh, it's so bad.
A former Whedonverse person Dollhouse.
Yeah.
That's where I recognize him from.
Yeah.
I couldn't put my finger on where I know him from.
I think he was also, he was like a Wolfram and Hart guy in Angel, I think as well.
Yeah.
So he is a thorough Whedon guy. As like nervous bumbling, like, oh, I'm on a date too.
I really, really like that gag. The gag about, you know, he's on a blind date and when she hugs him, she looks so disappointed.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, so for a minute I was like, this is actually kind of an interesting take on the whole dating scene. So it's like, you can either know the guy that you're going to go and see, and she's been talking to this guy for 3 months. She knows exactly what he looks like.
But the second that scene happened, I went guilty.
Oh, really? I didn't see it right away.
Yeah, I did. Like, it was,
I could also just been vacant. I don't know. It's
it was not a good film. So, no. enjoy your licorice or whatever you're eating. Like
popcorn, always the popcorn with extra butter.
Nice.
I don't know. I didn't hate it. I think somebody
asked. Outright hate it either. I just, the beginning and endings are like, fucking come the fuck on.
So somebody explained to me why this is like 80 some odd percent fresh and has like the rating. Hold on.
People seem to think it's smart and thrilling. And I'm just like, we do watch the same film.
Okay, I only kind of follow Rotten Tomatoes because, you know, it always comes up when we do like a search for whatever movie we're seeing.
Well, for sure.
And I remember seeing that it was like super high because, Dan, if it's okay, it's 83, it's certified fresh. It's 83%.
Wow.
What the hell?
This is because Dan really doesn't want to see Warfare. He's like, that movie looks really bleak.
Which one?
I said drop, and he's like, Warfare. Oh, that's fresh.
Oh,
I'm like, okay.
Yeah, more on Warfare later.
Yeah, I know. The anticipation levels are very high right now, Bill.
This has a rating of 3 on Letterboxd. So far, I mean, I probably would give it a 3, to be totally frank, but 83% is a little high for this, is in my book.
I did really like the look of it in a lot of places and kind of the flow.
The lighting in that restaurant, like the cinematography of that restaurant and the way they lay it out where you always know exactly where you are in the room. I kind of really appreciated that, especially when it's mostly takes place in like one location. So there were things that I liked about it, but it's all very superficial.
Yeah. And it was like a total like Landon gimmick.
Yeah.
Like a Landon gimmick film. Like it is tailored to his type of film. It makes me really wonder what his idea for Scream was going to be with the Carpenter sisters involved and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Because I think the new blood point of it was working to a degree. I like both actresses quite a bit.
That movie's going to be a train wreck.
I think so. Because I don't know. Kevin Williamson as a director, he's never directed before, right?
And Jenna Ortega more or less said, look, I didn't leave because of what you think I left for. It just wasn't very good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
And I mean, her track record is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, because she keeps playing the same kind of role. I would argue that her role in Scream was not the angsty teen, right? She was
the
survivor, right? They established her as a survivor right away. They give her Sydney Prescott post Scream 1 like right away into True. I don't know. I think Radio Silence had a pretty good grasp on what they were doing.
Yeah, I didn't hate it. I mean, I don't really love that franchise anyways. Like I have a nostalgic for the first two, but
the first two. Yeah, me too. And then 3 and 4. The subversiveness in 4, like when they were doing all the kind of meta stuff, like that I really liked. Yeah. That really, like the Kristen Bell Anna Paquin thing is fucking hilarious.
It is great.
Every time I see it shared on any social media, I laugh my ass off because it's really, really funny. But no, the first two and then kind of these new the new Radio Silence ones I thought were fun. I thought it injected a new life into it, especially with how outright meta the Scream one was, especially with Mikey Madison and Jack Quaid. So
Bill just raised his desk and I just lost my shit. Like, what is happening here?
Sorry, my mic was lower than I wanted it to be. Like, shit. Sorry, man.
So for context, I might have to actually clip this part of the video out. Bill has a raising desk and he was showing us how fun it is, and all of a sudden I see his head slowly disappear off screen.
I just got it a couple of days ago and I haven't quite figured it out yet. My levels are a little weird.
It just cracks me up.
The worst part about this episode is that Melissa isn't here to shit on drop.
Oh
yeah. Did she see it?
No, but like no. it would have been epic.
Yeah.
It would have been pretty great.
Yeah, I guess she knew she wasn't going to do the episode, so I guess she was like, "Yay, I don't have to watch Drop."
Yeah, don't have to watch the shit show that is Drop. Yeah. I still did not hate it. Like
I'm
being much more I think mean on it than I intend to be, because I did have fun. Other than like the last 10 minutes really pissed me off. But the rest of it, I thought, was enjoyable. I certainly liked it more than Dan did. Dan was really.
Yeah. I was supposed to ask, what was the Dan thought on Drop?
He didn't care for it.
Nice.
This guy in the theater who came with, because there's only like six or seven other people in the theater with me, maybe less. And this guy went with two girls, and he stands up and loudly is like, "That was the worst movie I've ever seen." And he was just like complaining about it the whole way to the door. And I'm like, okay, it wasn't that bad.
First off, sir, have you seen Baby Invasion?
That would be a hard no. Hard no.
Do you know what's Harmony Korine and Travis Scott's company called again?
Edgelord.
Edgelord. It's Edgelord, man. Don't you know Edgelord?
That sounds so douchey. Like deck bro douchey. I just
What a weird collaboration, just combination of people. Harmony Korine and Travis Scott.
Yeah.
Like Harmony Korine's like, "Oh, I'm a big fan of Astroworld. Do you want to meet up?"
I lasted about a minute and a half of Travis Scott's Coachella set last night. I'm just like, nope. Yeah.
I only know Fiend. That's the only song I really know. And that's just because it's newer. I can't really name another one. And that's only because it's the theme song for WrestleMania this year.
Nice.
they did show a trailer for that new movie with The Weeknd and Jenna
Ortega. Oh, Hurry Up Tomorrow?
Yeah, which looks fucking awesome.
It
looks
Schultz.
Really good. Yeah, it looks really good.
I like him. I liked Waves a lot, and then nobody said a fucking thing about it again.
I'm trying to remember if I saw Waves.
Yeah, that was a pretty epic VIFF screening. I think we were all like stunned by it.
Did I see that? Like, I honestly don't remember.
I think you were there. They had one showing at a VIFF, and it was a late ad.
Yeah, I'm sure I did. I honestly don't remember it, but I really like
It Comes at Night.
Yeah, which is awesome.
Yeah,
which
is really, I enjoy really awesome. That one a lot. Yeah. And he did what? Krisha? Was that him?
Yeah.
That's the only one I haven't seen. I have not seen Krisha.
Yeah, I have seen that, which I really, really, I didn't think I would like it just from the write-up. It just does not sound like the kind of thing that I would be into. And I thought it was so compelling. It's such a great watch.
Refresh my memory on what's it about again.
So that one is about a woman.
Older woman.
Yeah, who is crazy. Does she crash a Thanksgiving? It's like a special holiday. I think something it's a like Thanksgiving. That, yeah. It's been a while since I've seen it. Yeah. It's she, like the actress is really, really good. And the camera, the thing that stood out to me was she was really great. The story was just kind of nuts. Like it was like it's like your worst family member just showing up out of the blue.
Yeah.
And the camera movement is like the cinematography in that movie is so kinetic. Like I was glued to it for the entire running time. It's really, really good. It's worth checking out for sure. I don't know if it's streaming anywhere.
It's also the only A24 Blu-ray or 4K I don't have. It's sold out. It's been out of print since it like first.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I didn't know it was 10 years old.
Yeah.
The movie's 10 years old.
Yeah, no, it's decently old.
Wow. Wow, okay.
He's an interesting filmmaker for sure, though.
He totally is, totally is.
And this, I don't, like, is this fan obsession kidnapping? That's what this film's about?
It looks, like, visually, like, the trailer is, like, impeccable. It's so good.
Well,
it's looked and sounded amazing.
We need as much separation from the idol as possible at this point.
So. I haven't seen it, and I am going to leave it that way.
Just don't. It's sleazy as fuck. That's really what it is.
I actually thought about
it. Have you seen it, Bill? Did you watch the idol? It is absolutely just sleazy.
I think to the Bill
nth
said
degree and exploitative.
Yeah, Bill said the same thing, which is why I didn't bother to see it.
And at this second or third episode, I'm like, "Hey, Lily, can you just put your clothes on?"
Yeah, I'm feeling uncomfortable. I'm uncomfortable now. Yeah, this is too much.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's circle back to the Drop. I say it's not theatrical, but see it if you have a chance to. It's fun.
No, I don't think it's theatrical, really. I don't think like if you're like saving up, like if you're a casual viewer, nah. If you're a person that goes and sees everything, you're gonna see it.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Okay. I don't see it at all, but
I don't think it's that bad.
I'm super cranky, so leave me alone.
Okay. please take us out of our misery. How depressing is Warfare?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's rip that Band-Aid off.
I felt like I had been like hit with a bat for about like the first like 20 or 30 minutes of the film was actually quite calm. It's just them in a building scoping things out. Like literally the guy is like showing you like a view of the town through a scope. And then it becomes one of the more, I don't think they ever have to make another war film after this film. It's so point. Like everything is perfect. Like it's just, you remember Private Ryan, that first like 20 minutes and how everybody thought that was like genre breaking and like the best thing that anybody had ever seen.
Yeah.
This feels like the new bar and I don't think you ever be able to touch it.
Oh my God.
So Alex Garland really is a genius.
Yeah. It feels so real to the point where it feels like it's a documentary other than the fact that, oh, that's Michael Gandolfini. Oh, that's Joseph Quinn.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But it's really harsh. It's so bleak. Everything is just so brutal. And I don't quite know if it's like a masterpiece or just like a great film because it's so hard to watch and just feels like it's just beating the shit out of you.
So this is what he follows Civil War off after.
Yeah.
During the press for Civil War, he was saying he didn't think he was going to direct another film. So he co-directs this film. And how does it stack up as a 1-2 punch?
I think they're like brother and sister, to tell you the truth. I think one is essential to the other. So Ray Mendoza, the other director, the guy from Reservation Dogs plays him in the movie.
Okay.
Yeah. There's no real main character in the film. It's just like a big giant ensemble piece. Like everybody is sort of the same. And there's like one pack of soldiers who get caught in a building and another pack of soldiers comes to get them. The second pack of soldiers shows up about an hour into the film and it's led by Charles Melton from
December. Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, he's cool. And then, yeah, just shit just goes nuts. And the fact that they say that this film is like none of the guys who were actually there remembered everything. So they all got together and like kind of made a script out of their like broken, fragmented memories.
Yeah. And so Ray Mendoza was a consultant on Civil War and he's written a book about his experience. Again, not really fully remembering everything, he piecing it together from his experience and the interviews that he had with his buddies. So it's, and I find it disingenuous because clearly Garland knew that this was going to be coming. Like, it's not like he made Civil War and he was you know, we're not making another movie. I mean, let's be honest, how quickly these two came together. They went from filming Civil War to doing this immediately after. And that's what it sounds like. And that's what it sounds like from the interviews I've read with Ray Mendoza. But either way, I mean, I can't wait to see it. I still think Alex Garland is a genius. He's not...
Me too.
His screenwriting is sometimes the third act. He does have third act problems in some movies, Sunshine, The Beach. But generally speaking, he's really, really good. And he is a legitimately excellent filmmaker. I think people sleep on him.
Yeah,
looking to you 28 years later.
Yeah, there's no third act problems here.
No. And he's generally like really good. It hasn't happened in a while, but there were a couple of Danny Boyle movies there for a while that was like, dude, you fumbled this again.
So this is a bit of a spoiler, but it's in the first 5 minutes of the film. So it's not really a spoiler. The opening shot of the film is all this, the soldiers who are like cooped up in this like sweaty building. Do you remember the Eric Prydz video Call on Me where those like, they're all watching that video, just getting so worked up and like raving to it, like fist pumping and stuff. It's the most weird. It almost feels like it should be in Spring Breakers. And then the movie just flips the script and becomes something completely different. And I do want to say this, this movie is incredibly harsh. And if you have a problem with like realism, because this feels like one of the most real films I've ever seen, like it's that intense, you maybe shouldn't see this film. It's I already
sold it, Bill.
Like, I know, but like,
I mean,
it's funny. Like, so supposedly A24 is releasing this film by themselves in Canada, and I didn't actually know if I was gonna be able to see this because it was added to my local theater on Thursday, the day before it opened. So Steve didn't get it because they had no way of getting screens, because usually, you know, they're just doing it's the first time they've ever done this. So I don't know if people actually got a chance to see this, because it's like playing in one theater here, it's playing in a couple theaters in Vancouver, but it totally got shorted because A24 is trying their own thing now. But it's biggest screen possible, biggest sound possible. If you want to see it, it's freaking intense, and I do recommend it. I just don't quite know where I sit with it because I'm still kind of processing it. It's that kind of film.
Is it going to be top 10 worthy?
Maybe? I don't know yet.
Okay.
But
I can see it on people's top 10s though.
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah. And just for the record, there's no way when people saw Civil War, they brought their own weird, you know, thoughts to it. Even mm-hmm. though it kind of mm-hmm. wasn't that film, there's no way they can do that with this film. It's just very straightforward, and it's just war shitty.
Mm-hmm.
Like mm-hmm. it's just incredibly intense, and people get fucking hurt.
Yep.
Yeah. So like, there's no way they can spin it. It's just that intense. So yeah, it's a film.
Nice. I'm excited for it.
Yeah. No. I'm curious what you guys think of it for sure.
Yeah. Can't wait. Can't wait. Yeah.
Well, you're already speaking. What else you got? Give us some good movies and some shitty ones. You said you had a run of bad movies.
No, there was just Drop, I think.
Okay.
I think you guys might actually be surprised. I finally saw Becoming Led Zeppelin.
Oh, yeah.
Which I thought was decent enough, but for a band that has such a huge cachet of stuff, this feels very... 10% of the story.
It's very lowly rated.
Yeah, and it's just a talking head documentary where they're just speaking to the camera, and you know, it's really cool hearing John Bonham, and it's really cool hearing Jimmy Page and the incredible John Paul Jones talk, because I love Paul Jones.
Give me more of them Crooked Vultures, motherfucker.
Oh, totally. Yeah. And it's good, but it's not great. This should be like a 10-hour, 10-part documentary where, you know, each album has two episodes, and they just expand this into something better. It ended, and I'm like, that's it?
Oh, that's such a bummer.
Yeah.
Especially because we haven't gotten a Led Zeppelin film.
And the fact that they had all this access to the guys just makes it even worse.
And they just shit the bed.
Yeah, it's kind of frustrating. Actually, I lied. There is a shitty movie. So a buddy of mine phoned me up, and he's just like, you know, you watch movies, and I want to go to a movie on a cheap Tuesday. And I really like Jason Statham.
Oh,
and,
no.
And I'm just like, but you know.
No.
So I'm like, but my podcast partner, Steve, really did not like A Working Man. And I kind of don't really want to see it. But, oh, shit, I guess I'm going to go. So somehow this was worse than you said it was. And you shit on it pretty bad.
Mm-hmm.
I would only
figure you'd find it worse.
Yeah, no, like, it's pretty bad. You know, I'm gonna go into a bar and destroy all the guys' henchmen, and then all of a sudden we're friends. Like just inconceivable shit. Yeah, there was only one good scene in it where he like has that guy tied with the rope to the chair on the pool. I thought that was
Jason, the Lost Dog reunion.
Yeah, Jason Fleming. Yeah, I thought that was a kind of effective scene. Mm-hmm. But other than that, it's just complete crap. Not even like funny like The Beekeeper was.
Yeah,
which kind of made it actually fun to watch at times.
We need to end the union between Stallone and Statham. We need to stop that. That's, you can't drag Statham down. You're done. Your time in the sun is over. You can Tulsa King your way. until your retirement, but you're not allowed to touch people that still have potential in them. As wooden as Statham is and as one-dimensional as he is, he still has potential to have fun action movies.
Yeah, no, I think he can be effective.
Yeah, Stallone's not helping. Like, that was the other Homefront, the one with James Franco's dealing meth. It's always about kids. Yeah. James Franco's the bad guy, and of course I believe it involves human trafficking as well, kidnapping and human trafficking as well. And Stallone wrote that for Statham to star in too. And
whew. Yeah.
Oh boy.
So keeping with Steve's list of last episode.
Oh boy.
I saw Magazine Dreams. Which I quite liked, and I think I was more frustrated by the fact that Jonathan Majors really should be a complete star, and this movie just was maybe that film, other than, you know, and he's so
I 100% think it was.
Yeah,
it's
just, I'm watching it and I'm like, this just feels like he's the funeral's already happened. Like, this is coming. This came out two years after it was supposed to come out, and we all know what his thing is. And now I'm watching this film and I'm like, he is so good.
The restaurant scene is fucking incredible.
Do you know the best part of the film is when he's at the competitions and he's doing his poses?
And
everybody's doing their pose like the right way, and he's like doing it like this weird, like aggro, like pose way. It's hilarious. I couldn't stop laughing. He would have been great, and it's too bad. Also, shout out to Haley Bennett, who I still have a crush on.
Yeah, she's, I feel like I hadn't seen her in a while.
Yeah, I hadn't either.
She was in
that movie, that Widow Cloquet film.
That popped up in my feed the other day, and I'm like, how do you say it? Widow Clickout?
Cloquet? I don't know. I don't know.
But I really like her. I even like her in movies that I don't like Girl on the Train.
Yeah.
I like her, really, but good. I fucking hate that movie. Yeah. I'm a big anti Tate Taylor guy though. So
yeah, I'm not a fan either.
Don't get me started there, Ma.
And also weirdly, Briarcliff picked that film up, but the VOD that I got had a Universal logo in front of it.
That's super weird.
Kind of strange.
I don't remember Universal ever touching it as far as the news exactly. that I read.
I was quite shocked by that. So
did they have a deal with Briarcliff?
I don't know, but weird inside baseball shit. But yeah, probably shouldn't have been a Universal logo in front of that. so here's my what the hell, where did this come from? I actually liked The Amateur.
Oh shit. That gives me hope, Bill.
No kidding.
It's fun.
Is it?
You know, just don't take it too seriously.
Yeah, I heard it's goofy. It's like this guy can't kill a fly. Oh shit, he's killing people now.
No, but it's you know, Jason Bourne was like, you know, incredibly trained. He's really smart.
Jason Bourne, if he was a human that acted like a snake.
Yeah, and it's just a
that's what Rami Malek looks like to me.
Yeah.
He doesn't look like he's pretending to be a human.
And plus, if I had married Rachel Brosnahan and they killed him, I'd go for revenge too.
I would be super fucking pissed. I'm like,
and then you know, Rami Malek, being the stud dude that he is, later on the film teams up with Katrina Balfe. And I'm just like, good for you, sir. Good for you.
No kidding.
Yeah, it's a fun film. I don't know if it was just because I thought it was going to suck. I'm pretty sure I really trashed that film last episode. But
yeah, we believed thoroughly. It was thoroughly. I think we said bland a few times.
Yeah, so I'm actually curious what you guys think of that one.
Oh, I'm very excited. I'm hopefully going to see it in the next couple days.
I mean, admittedly, the trailer is pretty forgettable.
It's not good.
Yeah, well, because you've seen that same trailer like
that too
14,000 times.
I know, but here's the thing: Rami Malek, Lawrence Fishburne, Rachel Brosnahan, John Bernthal, Holt McCallery, Katrina Balfe, Juliet Nicholson, Michael Stahlberg.
Wow. No, okay, yeah,
it's a pretty good cast.
You got me with those. You got him with those other ones. The Holt McCallany is just like the same role he's played.
He's still good.
But I love Holt McCallany. Yeah. I don't know what my issue with Rami Malek is. I have liked him in movies before, but there's some stuff it was almost like because of that movie, I just didn't get it. Like little things. It's because of his performance in the movie that I'm like, everyone else is great.
I love Mr. Robot, but I can tell you exactly why I don't like Rami Malek.
Why is that?
Because he won an Oscar.
For a mediocre performance.
Who did he beat that year, too?
I don't know, but like, Jesus, man, that movie is terrible.
Oh, fucking Bohemian. Yeah, it's not.
It's not great.
It's not terrible, but it's not great at all. Not great at all.
Rocketman is
a better movie than
Hey, everybody. Did you know that Freddie Mercury was gay? Because that movie sure as fuck doesn't.
What that movie has going for it is Malek does have chemistry. Like, he has personality on screen. And the music is just fantastic. Like, you cannot go wrong with that music.
No, the music's obviously great, but
yeah,
movie is not.
Yeah. Did you ever seen Sacha Baron Cohen's interview about it where he was talking with Brian May and it was that Freddie was going to die like halfway into the movie or something. And then the rest of the movie was about how Queen persevered without Freddie. Yeah. And it's like, did you?
Yeah, does everybody remember that The Doors put another album out after Jim Morrison died? No, they don't. Of course they don't.
Even though there's more room for saying that Jim Morrison wasn't the talent.
Totally not.
But he was the charisma.
That's the unfortunate, because Ray was the fucking go when it comes to that. And it's sad that they couldn't live beyond Jim Morrison, because they could just got another fucking poet that can mumble sing.
So, but
were they gonna look?
Controversial classic rock takes this week.
Yeah.
Tie it back to the movies. Okay. That Doors movie, the Oliver Stone Doors movie, is actually pretty good.
Oh fuck yeah!
Yeah,
haven't seen it in years.
Rest in peace, Val Kilmer.
Yeah,
no doubt. I was just because my collection, my physical media collection, isn't largely at where I'm living, so I go up to my dad's where it all is. And while I was up there bringing some of my newer stuff up there, I grabbed my DVD copy of Kiss Kiss Bang Bang because I really want to watch that. And one of my favorite Val performances is Gay Perry.
I saw Kiss Kiss Bang Bang at VIFF.
Oh shit! Holy that played shit. Viff.
It played Viff. I thought it
was Shane there.
No, he was not.
Deep cut.
Yeah, yeah.
What good a time. Crazy movie to play.
Back
was
back
it one of the big? Was it one of the big screenings? Or
no, it was just a regular screening.
What?
It wasn't even a special presentation.
That's 2 years before Iron Man, right? It's 2006.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. So Downey isn't like back yet.
Yeah, no, it was like my second or third Viff year.
Oh my God, that movie fucking rules. Like, yeah. I laugh so fucking hard. The look up the word idiot in the dictionary. Do you see?
Well, and I think that was really early Shane Black, right?
No, Lethal Weapon was early Shane Black.
Yeah, yeah. No, as a director, though, that would have been his first directed film, right?
Yeah, I think so.
That was his directorial debut.
Yeah. And I think that was
long time coming, though.
Yeah, but I think that was why it was kind of just like a screening at VIFF, right? It was notable director, first time.
I guess.
But, yeah.
Starring drug addict Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah.
Because that was the movie, like, exactly. Nobody knew it was going to be any good. It was such a loser at this point.
Yeah.
Well, he was in his loser years. And
2 years later, he's the biggest movie star in the world.
I know. It's like, what the fuck, man?
Thank you, Susan.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
I am the woman behind the man, right?
Yeah.
So last episode we talked about what we thought the ballad of Wallace Island was.
Yeah.
And we all kind of thought it was going to be Once.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's very little music in this film.
Really? Oh wow.
God damn, is it lovely?
Is it lovely? Aww. And it's funny too, right?
It's great. I love this film. It's so sweet and earnest. And it's more about this guy who invites the two to his island to play this performance, and he has his backstory that's really quite touching, and it becomes quite sweet. And the fact that Carey Mulligan like disappears like halfway through the film, you think, okay, you know, that's cool. You know, the biggest star of the film is gone. No, the rest of the other, everybody else in this movie is a star. It's
awesome.
So good. I can't wait for you guys to see it. This might be top 10 material for me. Ooh. Actually, I quite Ooh. Enjoyed it.
That's nice.
Yeah, I really liked it. There's another shitty film. I apologize. So yeah, last episode I tried to get us to put the new Paul W.S. Anderson film.
Okay, I can talk about this too.
Holy shit.
I just watched it
yesterday. This is like maybe one of the worst films I've seen in a very long time. It's like CG Barf the movie. I honestly don't think that any of this film was shot with like any kind of set other than green screen. Like it's the entire film is green screen.
It's nonsense too. It's complete fucking nonsense.
Yeah. Which is
sucks. But isn't this based
on George R. R. Martin, who seems like a fucking hack at this point?
Well, yeah. And he's been out there saying like, this is such a great adaptation of my material. I'm like, dude,
it's clearly awful. And why can't she switch up her name? Why does she have to be Alice like all the time?
Yeah. The worst part of this film is it brings Big Dave down. I think we all love Big Dave.
Yes, and, I love Big Dave.
Yeah, but this is it didn't even open in Canada. Like, I think we all kind of know why now. I don't think it even really opened in the US either, and it was on VOD a week and a half later. So
why does Paul remind me of Zack Schneider?
Yeah,
he's the less talented budget version.
Well, I mean, there was a bunch of this movie that reminded me of like Rebel Moon. So like,
yeah, no, totally. I get that. The problem with him is that he figured something out with the Resident Evil films, at least like one or two of them. And those movies kind of made money.
So I don't know. I liked, he did Underworld. It was fine.
Yeah.
I fucking love that movie.
No, Underworld was Len Wiseman.
Oh, wait. Well, didn't he do one of the Underworld movies? Tell me I'm not imagining things.
No.
Len Wiseman married Kate Beckinsale and did all the films.
Okay. Thank you. It was the other
pairing. The films were over, they divorced.
Yeah.
No, I'm blaming Total Recall.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Which made a good, like the trailer at least made a compelling argument to adapt Mass Effect into a movie.
Yeah, that'd be sweet.
Yeah, I'd be into that.
So yeah, that's, I really dislike Mila Jovovich. So even though she is not aging, like she still looks like she's like incredible. A 20-year-old. Yeah, she's incredible.
And Ever is going to be an exact copy of her.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Ever Anderson is looks almost exactly like her mom at the same age.
So yeah, do not watch that film. And my last thing is quite possibly maybe one of the best TV shows I've watched in the last couple of years.
I can talk about this too.
Dying for Sex is absolutely incredible.
Oh, mm-hmm. It's so good. Mm-hmm. I did cry in the final episode.
It's not only that it's like really touching at the end. It's so funny and you love the characters. And I've said this before about certain women in the industry. I never really got Michelle Williams. Like, I understood she was a really great actress and, you know, she's great in Manchester by the Sea. She's great in The Fabelmans. She's a really good actress. I did not really get Michelle Williams until I saw the show. She is so endearing and funny, and it's so wonderful. And also Jenny Slate is a goddamn revelation in this.
She's amazing in this. Yeah, I thought she was genius.
Do you know what's really funny? In real life, Michelle Williams' best friend is Busy Phillips. And I really felt like she played with her own friendship, because Jenny Slate is a very Busy Phillips like person in this show. And I really feel like she kind of like spoke to her own reality for this. Cause yeah, you're right. She is so brilliant in it. And a lot of it is the core of their friendship that I really, really love. about and how they understand each other and how there's the every movement between their in their relationship is made with love. And it's just like when you were talking about Ballad of Wallace Island, I really like that 2025 has a lot of love, it seems to have through this medium right now. Bob Trevino likes it. Sacramento, like all of these films do have a loving core to them. And I'm really, really digging that right now.
The Last of Us season two.
Oh yeah. The love and definitely not the dour and the sad stuff and the eventual.
The thing about
deal with
the thing about dying for sex is that it's not just Michelle Williams and Jenny Slate. That whole series has a bunch of killers around her. Like,
oh, Rob David, Delaney is so good. Yeah,
David Rash and
they're all great.
Yeah, like Sissy Spacek, Jay Duplass. Like,
Jay Duplass is really great, and it's funny because the week I got a couple days after or before watching Dying for Sex, I watched Good American Family, the screeners for it, and that has Mark Duplass in it.
Yeah.
And I was like, I've
started watching that show.
That story is weird. Nuts. It's crazy. Right away, I'm like, this is Orphan.
Oh, dude.
Like,
it's
right
so,
away. I yeah, was this, like, I know so this story. Creepy. And then Jen's like, how do you not know this story? I'm like, this is I don't know this story. And she's like, I know exactly everything that's going to happen. I'm like,
okay. I do not.
She knows the story backwards and forwards. So.
Yeah, no, it's so creepy, though. And it's crazy.
Yeah.
Just insane. Good TV for sure.
So, yeah, this is a little bit of a tiny spoiler, but there's a scene in Dying for Sex where Michelle Williams' character kicks another character in the balls. I haven't laughed that hard and felt weirdly gross about it in a very long time. Like, that's terrible, but fuck, this is kind of funny at the same time.
I really love that. Okay, so to me, it still tickles my bone that this is on Disney. Like, the most family of family streaming networks has probably one of the most unique open conversations about sexuality that I've seen on TV in a very long time, an episodic in a very long time. It made me laugh a little bit for sure.
And the fact that it's like half hour episodes and you can just plow through it pretty quickly,
which I did.
Yeah, I did.
Because you messaged me and I was like, okay, fuck, I guess I'm watching this. I literally watched it in like 3 days.
Yeah, it's pretty easy to watch, and everybody should, because you know, other than there's like some pretty amazing prestige TV out right now, this one feels like it's like multi Emmy winner all over it. So
it's so good.
Yeah, it's pretty damn great.
Well,
that's it for me. Sorry, I went long there.
Yeah, I've only got a few, but because you were talking TV, I want to meld right into it, and because I think the embargo's still up, so I really can't say anything.
Andor?
Yet. I've seen it all.
Damn you.
I've seen it all. Oh my God.
Is it as good as season one?
I really, really, really like it.
In your Star Wars universe, is Andor the best TV show?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Then we're on the same page.
Yes.
And if this is season two is as good, I'm happy.
Yes. There is a moment, a scene in this season that was so fucking shocking that I couldn't believe it was happening. I couldn't believe how far they were going to go with this.
Wow.
I'm excited. I can't wait.
I'm excited.
So
that's all I can tell.
So shout out to Disney. A buddy of mine sent also got a screener and sent me a photo, and it looked like one of the worst screeners I've ever seen in my entire life. His name was in the middle of the screen across it.
Yeah.
And I was just like, awful. I'm like, how can you watch that? He's awful. Like, it's Andor. And I'm like, okay.
I have to. Yeah. I felt the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So since we're talking TV, I'll lean into the TV as well. I've been meaning to watch this, but I've honestly been too lazy to log into my CBC account. And then the other day it landed on Netflix and I streamed through this in a day and a half. North of North is fucking awesome. That show is so good. Bill, you must watch the most Canadian of Canadian shows.
Okay. Yeah, no, I keep on seeing commercials for it on YouTube. Every time I'm at work, I'm watching something on YouTube, they show me a commercial for it. So
Anna Lambe is so charming. This entire cast is so good. It's literally just, you know, these people that live like in the most northern part of Canada. It's crazy. It's basically winter there all the time. It's just very funny and really charming and really sweet. And Jay Ryan shows up at one point and I was like, I haven't seen you since The Beast. This is kind of glorious. You've aged so well. Thank you, CBC, for bringing him back. It's wonderful. It's really, really sweet, really, really fun. And I was ready for another 8 episodes. I can't believe there's only 8 episodes of 30 minutes each.
Cool.
Disappointing.
I will check it out.
Great TV. And now everybody can see it because it's not only just available on CBC, it's also on Netflix for the world to enjoy.
Nice.
I think it's part of their Canadian content. I don't fucking care. Just give them more money to make more episodes.
Yeah.
I'm there for it. I have very few movies. Steve, I'll go and then you can finish the song.
Okay.
The Life List, which is one of the new Netflix adaptations.
I watched the trailer for this.
Yeah, with Sophia Carson and Kyle Allen. It's cute. I mean, it's not great. The basic concept is mother dies, leaves inheritance in the way of DVDs, which has its own hilarity to it. And every time she takes something off her life list, she gets another DVD. It's sweet. Connie Britton is lovely. I really like Sophia Carson.
What was that time loop movie with Kyle Allen? It was on Prime. Yeah, it was like Map of. It was kind of cute. And then I'm pretty sure it's got a likable female lead, but it's a time loop movie. And
is it the one about the records?
The Map of Tiny Perfect Things.
I haven't seen that. It's on my to watch list.
Yeah. Oh, Catherine Newton. Ha ha. Okay.
I think I did see that actually.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. I actually watched it with my youngest, and we both really liked it. So
yeah, it's on my to watch list. Yeah, I like this. I thought it was fine. It's not great, but I thought it was okay. Mm. Together, which is on, I think, Amazon Prime. Ed Helms and Patty Harrison, and I have to say, every time so I see good. Her. I saw your review after I posted about it. Mm-hmm. I always confuse her for Olivia Munn.
Oh.
I don't intend to, but and I always know it's not the same person. Like I see her and I'm like, I know that's not Olivia Munn, but why can I not remember your name?
Apparently Patty Harrison's stand-up act is
okay. What the hell? I knew this movie sounded familiar.
Yeah, it's so damn good.
It is really good.
Did this just come out? Yeah.
No, I don't think so. No, maybe a couple of years ago.
I know, because I saw it at TIFF in 21.
Yeah.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, it's so good.
It is really good. So the basic idea is that Helms is, she plays surrogate to his baby. And it's just a sweet, I love how sweet it is. And it never gets into the romance, which is so uncommon for a movie of this type, which I think is what I really like about it. It's just lovely. It was enjoyable. I really enjoyed it. Yeah. I really, really enjoyed it. And then I saw the weirdest thing. I think I might have seen it on Tubi. I can't remember now. Honeydew. Have you guys seen this?
Sounds familiar.
It's the strangest thing. So it starts off like pretty much every backwards horror movie, horror movie you could imagine. This couple, they're in the middle of nowhere. They decide to camp out on this piece of land that's clearly a farm, and they figure they can get away with it. And then in the middle of the night, this guy comes up and is like, what are you doing on my land? And you're like, oh my God, this is going to turn into every horror movie you ever imagined. And then it gets weirder than that. Like they end up in this house and this weird older woman with her maybe son lives there, and there's weird food, and then it gets stranger because something weird is happening and you don't know what it is. Then out of the blue, Lena Dunham shows up in this weird Boxing Elena moment. Guys, this movie is so fucking weird. Like, I don't even know what to think of it. It's the strangest thing. And it's not that even that it's bad. It's just weird.
I gotta watch it now. I have.
It's so weird. Like,
kind of curious, actually.
The Lena Dunham thing threw me for a loop, and that was all I could think about for like the rest of the movie. And then it comes up. Oh, it's just weird. I'm curious. It's very, very strange.
Spielberg's son in it.
Yes.
Sawyer Spielberg.
Yes. Wow. It's weird. It's very, very weird. I don't know. I think I might have given it a 2.5 or a 3, but mostly because I just don't know what to make of it. It's just very, very strange.
I gave it a 2.5 or a 3 just because I don't know. Wow. I would like to put this to bed.
It's kind of like memorable. Like I can't stop thinking about it. It's just the strangest movie.
Just for the record, Boxing Helena's rad.
Oh, Bucky Elena is crazy fucking movie. Awesome.
That's Jennifer Lynch, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes.
Jillian Sands is.
Yeah, and Sherilyn Fenn.
Yeah. I had serious crush issues at that point.
Oh, and Sherilyn Fenn? I think we all did. Audrey Horne.
Yep.
Oh, that movie is so good. It's on another level. And then I watched After Everything. And I was sold on this from the cast. Jeremy Allen White and Mika Monroe.
Nice.
Yeah. So it's, they play a couple that meet at like, they have like this little cute meetup. And then Jeremy Allen White, in the same week that he meets her, finds out he has cancer. And then they end up getting married. And then, you know, they go through the whole cancer thing. And then when he's cured, like the relationship goes sideways because she's only ever been his caretaker. It's actually really, really good. Lena Gershon is also in it. Marissa Tomei is also in it. It has like a really impressive cast and it's pretty solid, like pretty, pretty great. It's like, you know, two people that have super great chemistry. Mm-hmm. So I think that one is on Tubi. Can you watch?
It's weird that Micah Moreau was in a pretty big movie last year and still nobody knows who she is.
I know. She should be bigger.
Yeah.
She should be bigger. And that's all I've seen. I and then I watched a bunch of TV. I did start watching The Pitt, which is...
I haven't started it yet.
Okay, so Bill mentioned it last episode. And then Dale mentioned it to me completely unrelated when I saw him. And I was like, okay, well, two separate people have told me I need to watch this show. So we started watching it. I don't do emergency room dramas. It's just not my cup of tea. Dan and I are both really enjoying it, but I still watch parts of it literally through hands, over, like through my fingers. Because I can handle horror. I am okay with like the weirdest shit. But there is something about like real life trauma that is like, I can't do it. Like, I can't. It's just, if you're cutting tracheotomies and shit, I'm like this. Like, I can't watch this. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm looking away a lot.
Oh, and shout out to Dale. What up, Dale?
Yeah, right?
Well, that's all After Everything. That After Everything was directed by Hannah Marks, and I've actually met Hannah Marks. I went to go interview Max Landis at Golden Age Comics, who was signing comics for his Resident Alien Superman comic, and it was I was sent there by two outlets to cover, and he was a huge fucking dick to me, but I was more interested in talking to Hannah Marks because. The night prior, I just watched Southbound, and she's in that. And now since, she's become a pretty interesting filmmaker.
Nice.
So, very cool. So Hannah Marks is awesome shit. Good shit.
I had a similar encounter with Margaret Atwood. And wow. It was at a reading for the Writers Festival, and she had just put out a book. And at that point, I think I was in college and I took an old beat up copy of The Handmaid's Tale. And she literally said to me, why didn't you buy my new book? And gave me the stink eye and then wouldn't personalize my copy of The Handmaid's Tale, would only sign it. And I was livid. I'm like, she's a bitch. Never again.
Yeah, that's
And I've since then I've been like, I still like her. Like, she's genius, but I have personal issues.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. That would. Unlike Anne Rice, who was, God rest her soul, was the loveliest human being.
I have a hardcover copy of Interview with the Vampire Sign with her, where she like did devil horns and then wrote Anne Rice. And I was just like, you're the coolest person ever. Thank you.
And her husband was also very, very lovely. Really wonderful human beings. Okay, sorry, I derailed us. Steve.
All right. So I'm finishing off here.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it's lighthearted, but against a backdrop of extreme real life strife. The Penguin Lessons. Steve Coogan, directed by Peter Cattaneo, who did Full Monty. Coogan has such an impeccable ability of bringing the comedy, but also being able to handle the dramatic weight as well, and does it really fucking well. And I'll always appreciate him for that. There's some really great laughs to this. There's some very brutal moments because this takes place in Argentina in like 1975. So this is like during the revolution type thing. And, you know, cops just disappearing people and stuff like that. So really interesting. It's also got Jonathan Pryce, and I enjoy Jonathan Pryce a lot, nice. Especially being an old Gilliam guy.
Yes.
I got to love me some Jonathan Pryce. Let's just get it over with. Maybe because my bar was low or something. Like I laughed a bunch during it. Jason Momoa is definitely my favorite part of this movie. He is hysterical as this like one hit wonder burnout that thinks he's the coolest fucking thing on the planet. This film is so Jared Hess to its core.
Yeah. A buddy of mine said it's kind of like Napoleon Dynamite.
Yeah. Yeah. Really, really is. He worked tater tots into it.
Wow.
Like there is just a quality to this film that I think is a lot of fun. The humor really works. The villain is voiced by Rachel House, a New Zealand actress who I find hysterically funny. She was the Grandmaster's right hand in Thor Ragnarok. She's been in a shitload of Taika Waititi stuff, like Hunt for the Wilder People. She's in that as well. She's very, very funny. And yeah, I don't know. The movie was just fun. It was just not nearly as bad as I was prepared for. And the Tenacious D side of me loves it when Jack just makes up songs and stuff. He just, I'll always be the Lava Chicken song is stuck in my head. It's funny.
Does that mean I'm now going to have to watch this movie? Is that what you're telling me?
And honestly, I took Hannah. Both my kids are like lifelong Minecrafters essentially. So they both have connections. Chloe hasn't seen it yet. By the time we make our next episode, she will have seen it. But I took Hannah with me and it was like going to the movie with the Leonardo DiCaprio meme. Like it was just pointing all over the place and all the kids in the theater applauded the movie when it was over. So loved it.
That's awesome. Like, yeah. That's what it should be. Like, that's like when we saw Star Wars when we were kids, like, holy shit, like Millennium Falcon.
Yeah.
You know? So like, that's awesome. Like that's a movie should be. And I'm glad that, you know, your kid liked it.
It hit the fans right in the heart where it should. And even there's a character, I'm giving spoilers here, but there's a character in the Minecraft universe named Technoblade, and it's a pig wearing a crown. And it walks by and Emma Myers goes, "Who's that?" And Jack Black looks and goes, "A legend." And and Hannah went, "Yeah, he is." She's like, "This Technoblade."
I love it.
So they handled all of the Minecraft stuff well enough that the fans are going to love it. And the fans are going to keep this movie going. This is a franchise now. There's no way Warner Brothers lets go of this now. No way.
Not sure how I feel about that, but okay.
Who knows? I also saw The Friend. This is David Siegel and I forgot the other director's name. They did The Deep End in like 2001 with Tilda Swinton.
Good movie. And
Yeah, it was a solid movie. This is very, 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 very different. I'm struggling to remember another film that they've done since. Obviously, they have. The friend, this is Naomi Watts, who is an actress that just fucking gets better and better, like, all the time. She's such a draw to this film. She plays a writer whose mentor, played by Bill Murray, passes away, and she is forced to take in his Great Dane, this giant dog named Apollo, it's another argument for giving animals Academy Awards, because this dog is going through grief. Like, you can, like, there's such a deep sadness sometimes on screen, and it's really, really incredible to watch. And I really, really dug the flow of this nice and light intellectual dog movie. Like, this is a dog movie that is manipulative to it, like dog movies are, but at the same time, this is such an adult, classy, like, well-written story, that really surprised me. I was kind of blown away by the film, to be honest. Just quickly, I'm doing my Bond rewatch, so I watch Goldfinger now. I've done the first three Bond movies. Goldfinger is still such a great film.
Do you want to know a weird little Goldfinger fact?
Mm.
What I learned during becoming Led Zeppelin? Do you know who was part of the band that recorded the theme song?
Jimmy Page.
And John Paul Jones.
But John Paul Jones is part of the percussion of it?
Yeah.
Wow. That's amazing. That's amazing. That's the first movie where the Bond theme song really sticks out to you. We were like, whoa, that, because yeah. It becomes the theme for the whole movie. So that I think Goldfinger is where the franchise really cohesives together and starts to, like, run into a theme.
Are you doing an order?
Yes, I am. What'd so Thunderball's next.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, Thunderball will be next. Bryce Dallas Howard's new documentary on Disney Plus, Pets. Sure, it's saccharine, it's sweet, but it hits in all the right places. My wife cried to a hysterical degree while laughing and saying, "I'm so cooked that I've never seen this level of emotion out of my wife before." There's a scene where, like, because it's kind of divvied up into a bunch of different stories, and one of them is about a family that's had to relocate a bunch, has one of their main pets is a pig named Ziggy, and they finally land and get a farm, and they start being able to make prosthetics for animals missing limbs and everything. And this goat jumps out into the yard with all four prosthetic legs, and my wife lost it like a whale. Like, what? Like, it was insane. So if you're susceptible to that kind of stuff, this movie will fucking rock you. Yeah, deep.
Ziggy played guitar.
there is a pig that's part of that story that the back legs didn't develop, so its name's Zippy, and it just runs around dragging its legs, like floppy legs, behind it. It's insane. Oh good, I don't have to talk about it in Lost Land because we already did. And then today I watched G20. Patricia Riggan, who I think I only know from the 33, the Chilean miner movie, the Chilean miner cave-in movie with Antonio Banderas. This movie's fucking ridiculous. Though I really like Tony Starr. Like, I just dig Tony Starr. He's Homelander. It's going to be like Giancarlo Esposito, whereas just like Tony's going to play villain after villain after villain. But you know what? He's good at it. So you can't hate on it too much.
I'm just looking at the poster. The poster is fucking ridiculous.
Olympus Has Fallen. This is all of those films.
Photoshop bullshit.
But Viola Davis looks so badass.
You know, she's ripped in the film too. Like
it looks, of course, so stupid, but it's also really kind of badass.
Do you know who's looking really like a lot older? And I guess, yeah, because he is older. And I just, it feels weird to me. And I totally didn't realize that he has a show that's been running for like 4 seasons now. But Ramon Rodriguez, who I know from like the Transformers movies, like 2 and 3, I think it was, where they brought him Revenge of the Fallen and stuff. Like,
Yeah.
He's her, the lead of her secret service detail, and has got like gray in his hair and everything now. And I'm like, fuck, we're all so old now.
Oh yeah, he's in Will Trent.
He's Will Trent in that series.
Yeah.
So, this movie's stupid. Anthony, I feel weird about Ozempic Anthony Anderson. It's weird. It's just kind of weird. I feel like he's trying to like edge into that Blair Underwood market of just like the you know, stoic husband thing, and it's just weird coming from a guy who
Blair Underwood's a little too smooth for that. I think
that's true. I feel like Anthony's trying to crowd that market, though. I mean, good on him if he can pull it off, but it's weird for me, for a guy that grew up that's seen Anthony Anderson since the beginning of his career, and that recently got Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle on Blu-ray to upgrade my DVD. That's the Anthony Anderson I remember. I remember Kangaroo Jack Anthony Anderson. Yeah, there we go. I just feel, honestly, I just felt like it's been a long time since anyone actually said Kangaroo Jack. So Bill is doing a service there.
Yeah.
But G20 is not great. Anyway, that's all I got.
Wow. Wow. I was like, for a minute, I was like, is that the name of the movie? Is G20? So that's why I Googled it. And I was like, wow, that poster is not great.
Something. Yeah.
It's something. All right. So what's coming, Bill?
Oh, boy.
There's a very obvious one here. So I'm going to say that for a bit, I think. April 18th. I'm pretty sure Marina already has her tickets for Pride and Prejudice, the re-release.
Oh, I don't, but it's
that's fucking not happening. What I thought you were gonna say.
Listen, I want to know what version they're releasing. Is it the American version or the UK version? Because there is a difference, and Marina riots if it's the wrong version
of the Joe Wright one.
Yes, there's two versions. I can't remember which one is which. I believe it's the UK version that has the kiss at the end, and then there's the American version doesn't. Or maybe they're backwards. I don't remember. But yes, one has a kiss at the end, one does not.
I didn't realize there was a Twisters thing about this.
Dude, it is a thing. And I only discovered because Bill will attest to this. I have seen this movie more times than it's healthy. And I've listened to this director's commentary so many times. It's
sad. Was it at an airport?
No, it's really good. But yeah, I remember watching it on Netflix one day. And I was like, what the fuck is happening? The credits don't start here. And then I went and pulled mine off the shelf. And I was like, see, this is not the way it ends. So Marina did a deep dive. And that's when I discovered there's two versions. I was shook.
I expect a book report next episode.
Apparently they're remaking Pride and Prejudice another time. And this time it's written by Dolly Parton. I have questions.
Weird. Wow.
Yeah, it's going to be on Netflix.
I'm a little interested in Emerald Fennell's Wuthering Heights that's coming out.
So am I, because I do love Wuthering Heights. I am also concerned about the casting. I am one of the you're whitewashing this. This is not good, but fine.
I like Emerald though. I
do like her, and I really like Wuthering Heights. But sorry, sidetracked altogether. Bill, sorry.
I'm gonna be. After I watch Red Rooms, I'm going to celebrate 2 days later by watching the great David Cronenberg's The Shrouds.
Oh, I hope
it's good.
Yeah. I remember when the fifth schedule came out last year. I'm like, where the hell is The Shrouds?
Yeah, it got delayed so much.
Yeah. It was supposed to open like a week after VIF, and then it got delayed. I'm just
is that a Mongrel title?
I'm not sure.
No, I think it's Mile One.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, hopefully that opens and we actually get to see it. This Norwegian horror film that a buddy of mine saw at Sundance called The Ugly Stepsister. He said it's really sweet. Body horror.
Cool.
Body horror. Not for me right there.
Yeah, I put it on my watch list because I saw somebody else.
I didn't even know about that one.
Yeah, it looks really cool.
Yeah, I can't wait for that one. And I'm guessing the consensus pick, the
Sinners,
pretty much the movie I've been waiting for the entire year. Yeah,
Sinners.
And people have seen it and they say it's good. Sinners. Yeah, this one be great.
Did you know this was originally conceived with Chad in the lead role?
No, I did not.
Yeah, Coogler wanted to do this movie with Chadwick Boseman.
Wow.
It looks so good. I'm still beside myself. I didn't know this was
apparently movie. This movie was made with the idea of Chadwick Boseman in mind. Like, that's who Michael B. Jordan and Ryan Coogler were talking about the whole time.
I'm ready for it. It looks fantastic.
Me too. There is a Ma Rainey-ness to the film too, a little bit.
So yeah, nothing says Good Friday like a good vampire film.
Fuck
so
yeah.
I'm definitely going to be doing
O'Connell.
That. Yeah.
Jack O'Connell.
Haley Steinfeld.
I am in.
I think the trailer gives too much away, but I'm so psyched.
Yeah, I'm hoping there's more to it than that, and I bet you there is.
I'm not getting one of these on the 18th. Are you moving on for the 18th, or do you have one more?
That's it for me on that day.
Okay. I have The Wedding Banquet is out. Bo and Yang. I'm hearing good stuff about The Wedding Banquet. It's a remake. Lily Gladstone, Bo and Yang. It's a remake of a film from the mid-90s, I think.
From 93.
Is it a Chinese film?
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
I think I saw the original.
The Ang Lee film.
Yeah.
So it was remade by Andrew Ahn.
Nice.
Interesting. Adding to the watch list. I actually don't think I've seen the Ang Lee one.
No, I haven't either. It's part of, Andrew Ahn made Fire Island, which I actually kind of liked that movie.
Okay, I'm going to be watching some Ang Lee, guys. It's happening.
Did you also hear about a film called Psychotherapy, the shallow tale of a writer who decided to write about a serial killer?
No. But I know what that is.
It's Route 504 is putting it out. It's got Britt Lower.
Severance.
Steve Buscemi's in it and John Majero.
Nice.
And it's a struggling writer in the midst of a divorce, befriends a retired serial killer who incidentally becomes his marriage counselor by day and killing counselor for his next book by night.
I think I need to see this.
Sounds pretty good.
Yeah. The title can probably be shortened.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. It should just be Psychotherapy.
I actually did put this on my watch list. Look at that.
Nice.
I had it already. Sorry, Bill.
So April 25th, I've already seen this because it came out like 30 years ago. Pink Floyd Live at Pompeii. It's fucking great.
It is really
good. Oh, they're bringing a screening of it? Oh, that's pretty
cool. It's like IMAX. They've remastered it, full IMAX, full like super surround sound. I am excited. Hopefully I can get to see it.
The version of Echoes at Pompeii is
so good.
So damn good.
It might be one of the best. And they have a lot of really great material.
Oh, yeah,
for sure.
So I think it plays in IMAX for a week, and then who knows what's going to happen after that. But yeah, I'll definitely be seeing that. Ben Affleck is back.
Mm-hmm.
The Accountant Squared.
Yeah, I'll watch it.
Yeah, me too. It's got Johnny Bernthal in it too.
Yeah, so. I have no qualms about the fact that I actually enjoyed the first one, and I like Ben Affleck. So.
Yeah, I like the first movie too.
Yeah, I didn't mind the first one either. I thought it was decent entertainment.
Yep.
And I'm sure this one's just the same. Cheech and Chong's last movie, a documentary about Cheech and Chong, looks pretty good. Can't wait to see that. Have you guys seen Revenge of the Sith? It's being re-released.
What movie is that? I don't think I've ever heard of it before.
Some indie Sundance filmmaker named George Lucas.
Yeah. George R.R. Lucas.
Yeah. another video game adaptation, Until Dawn.
That looks kind of interesting to me. And it's David F. Sandberg. And when David F. Sandberg does horror, I enjoy them.
I played the game.
Lights Out's fun. And that Annabelle Creation movie is the only good Annabelle movie, which I know is a broad statement, but it's actually not just a passable film, but it's actually a good film.
I'm curious about the video game, to be honest, because it actually is a pretty decent concept for a movie.
The game's cool. Yeah.
I'm curious about the gameplay, to be honest, because I'm not sure.
You have a PS5. If you have PS Plus, you can probably play it.
No, yeah. We don't. We have an Xbox. We're an Xbox family. Sorry.
Oh, that sucks to be you.
Sorry.
Yep. My last thing, Netflix has a new Gareth Evans film called Havoc with Tom Hardy.
Yes.
Happening.
Which was pretty sweet. I'm Gareth so Evans. Psyched. I quite
you
like
said, his you said Tom Hardy.
Yeah, have you been watching Mobland?
No, not yet.
Okay.
But it looks, I mean, that cast. It's good. It's can good. You beat that fucking cast?
Yeah.
No, Tom Hardy.
It's really fucking good.
What's her name?
Helen Mirren.
Helen Mirren, Pierce Brosnan.
And Pierce Brosnan is like fine wine. That guy
Absolutely.
Is.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Pierce Brosnan call everybody a coot.
Yeah.
I fucking love
it. Yeah. So yeah. That the 25th is when I have the Shrouds coming out.
Limited on the 18th.
Yeah. There's a movie as well called On Swift Horses coming out with Daisy Edgar Jones.
Oh, I like
Jacob
her.
Elordi, Will Poulter, Sasha Calley's in that one.
Will Poulter and everything.
Yeah, no seems, kidding. Seems like it. And it was done by Daniel Minahan, who is a many time director for Game of Thrones.
This is gonna sound really weird, but Will Poulter shaves his head in Warfare, and I'm just like, your beautiful hair. What did you do to your beautiful hair?
I'm glad that he had a good step up after Death of a Unicorn, because he's really great in Death of a Unicorn. It's just everything around him is not very good.
I actually read this really funny article about Warfare, about how every guy in that film is like your internet boyfriend.
That's true. Yeah. It's absolutely true. Every single one of them. Every single one of them.
Well, you know who's, you know, the Beatles, the four Beatles movies that they announced are going to break the internet.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Right?
Everybody's
going to lose their mind. The girls are going to be like, oh my God, all the cute boys. And the old people are going to be like, oh my God, it's the Beatles.
Yeah. The other one that I don't know how wide it's going, there's a film coming out called The Legend of Ochi. And it looks incredible.
It's been delayed for like 3 years.
Oh, you mean like, but I think it is like the last I saw is still getting a release.
It's, you know, but it was like filmed like 3 or 4 years ago and it's just coming out now, which is maybe not the best sign.
No, but the internet was like, oh, this movie was made by AI. And the guy's like, no, this is actually practical effects stuff. And I can show you the videos of how to do it. Actually, yeah. Elevation has it.
Yeah, the Paul W.S. Anderson film is made by AI.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this is the one with the cute animal thingamajiggy. Yeah, okay.
The Mogwai looking thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Mogwai, nice.
Mogwai. Mogwai. Yeah. Then that's all I have.
Yeah.
I say Sinners.
Oh yeah, that's not even up for discussion at this point.
I mean, how often is it that Ryan Coogler does a movie, you know?
Oh, honestly, I haven't seen a good vampire movie in, I'm not sure how long. It's been a while. I need my fill.
Only Lovers Left Alive.
Yeah, how many years ago was that, dude? That's I can't count back that far.
It was Nosferatu. It's been a while for me.
Yeah, Nosferatu's good.
That was my last one.
Yeah.
We know how I feel.
I just bought the 4K of Nosferatu.
Oh, I want it. Is there a director's cut on that?
Yeah, supposedly it's only like 3 minutes or something like that.
Okay. Is it noticeable?
They call it an extended cut, not a director's cut.
Do you notice it?
Not really. I don't know it that well, but I didn't really notice anything. So
I bought Warfare on 4K and I was a very happy camper.
I bought
Civil War.
Yeah, I was like, how?
Sorry. I also bought the Brutalist on 4K and because Amazon had it for like
the A24 one.
Yeah, they had it for $30.
Holy shit!
Yeah, so good. I was just like, you know what? I think I need to buy that.
Yeah, when a price like that rolls around, fuck yeah.
Yeah, especially with the Canadian dollar and those A24 discs, mm-hmm. So expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I want the We Live in Time A24.
Release. Yeah.
But I think I'm just going to get the Anora Criterion instead.
I did discover the other day that Oscilloscope has Coherence on Blu-ray on their website.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like, I think that might need to happen, but I need to buy more than one movie. Otherwise, the shipping isn't worth it.
I bought that from Videomatica like 3 or 4 years ago.
I think when you mentioned that that was on Blu-ray, I'm like, I need to find that. I need to see that. So good.
Underrated flick.
Totally underrated. Absolutely. Movie. All right. So we're going to be back in a couple of weeks to talk about Sinners. It's going to be glorious. Until then, where can folks find you?
I am Bill Harris. I am on Blue Sky at That Bill Harris. I am on Letterboxd at SoundJam69. Happy Canada Film Day. Go Red Rims.
And you can find me on Letterboxd and Blue Sky at The Marina. And you can find, that's just me. That's the only place that you can find me. Steve, take it away.
You can find me on Letterboxd, Instagram, Threads, and Blue Sky at The Steeble Dead. You can find my website, stevestebbing.ca. I do a show there every Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific time called What the Hell Should I Watch with my daughter, Chloe. This week we have an interview I did with Michael Cera and Michael Angarano talking about Angarano's new film Sacramento, which we've covered on this show. I was promised 10 minutes and I got 4. That was really weird for a podcaster. That's tough. That's very tough. So I'm gonna have to work on my being concise on when there's a pivot like that again, for sure. But it was just kind of cool to talk to those two. But anyway, that is on YouTube. You can subscribe to that channel by going to Steve Stebbing or The Steeble Dead. And you can also find us on shiftheads.ca. I do a podcast with my friends Kurt and Taylor called Tremble. The next two episodes are on Friday the 13th, the final chapter, and Friday the 13th, The New Blood, my number one and two favorite Friday the 13th films of the franchise. New Blood being number one. Oh, swerve. you can also hear me on Shane Hewitt and The Night Shift every Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern time on Toronto's News Talk 1010, which is found on the iHeartRadio network. And I'm being told you can also search up Shane Hewitt and The Night Shift on Spotify, and all my episodes are there.
Fantastic. Nice. You can find links to all of the things we talked about today at atcpod.ca. And until next time,
hack the planet.